putting a price on Afghanistan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. In West Point, New York tonight, President Obama will be at the U.S. Military Academy outlining his plans for the war in Afghanistan. The president is expected to announce he's sending 30,000 more troops to that country. He's also expected to talk about the financial cost. Joining us live is Marketplace's Amy Scott in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
Amy, how much is the president's war plan expected to cost?
Well, the White House has said that sending 30,000 additional troops would add about $30 billion a year to the cost of the war. That's about $1 million per person sent to Afghanistan. The Pentagon, though, has said the cost might be half that, so about $15 billion.
Quite a difference. Either way, how does the White House plan to pay for that?
Well, President Obama is expected to touch on that question in his speech tonight, though we probably won't get much detail. One way would be to borrow the money and, of course, add to the $12 trillion national debt. I spoke this morning to Dan Plesch with London University's Center for International Relations and Diplomacy. He suggests that the money could be redirected from other military spending.
Perhaps we should have one or two fewer nuclear submarines or warships or heavy tanks, a lot of these platforms left over from the Cold War, which really aren't very appropriate for today's conflict.
Amy, I know another idea that has been mentioned is a war tax. What are people saying about that?
That's right. This is an idea that some Democrats in Congress have proposed. It would be a surtax of 1 to 5%, depending on your income level. And they've argued it's a way to share the sacrifice of war. Republicans oppose this idea. And, you know, with the economy still struggling and midterm elections coming up, it would be a pretty tough sell.
Right. Marketplace's Amy Scott, live from New York. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
And speaking of debt, there was word from Dubai late yesterday. The big investment conglomerate there plans to restructure its debt. And to investors, that sounded a lot better than a giant default. And traders are piling back into stocks this morning, especially banks and commodities. European markets are up 1% to 2%. Asian markets did the same. The Bank of Japan said it will pump more cash into its banking system. On Wall Street yesterday, stock in Macy's and Saks fell after a tepid holiday shopping weekend. But internet buying was up, and so were Amazon.com and other online merchants. The Dow added 35 points to 10,344. For the month, the index was up more than 600 points, its fifth monthly gain in a row. So the verdict on holiday sales so far is shoppers are buying more items than last year, but they're spending less money in the stores. They are holding out for deep discounts. Now, the big retail chains have been able to come up with those price cuts, but what about the little guy? From our entrepreneurship desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Here's the problem for small store owners, says retail analyst Patty Edwards. Without sophisticated inventory tracking and market research, stocking for the holidays is pretty much a crapshoot. And in this economy, the margin for error is slim.
They don't have multiple millions of dollars to help run their dress shop, for example, and they're having to use their best intuition on how much inventory to carry, how to price it.
Gina Morris has a dress shop.
Hi there. Oh, please, come on in.
Radish Underground has been open 1 year in downtown Portland.
It's a little bit of a slow start, but we're definitely feeling a vast difference from last year when it was people literally scared to spend their money.
This year, Morris has ordered cautiously, but she doesn't plan to cut prices to compete with bigger retailers. Next door is Martinotti's. The shelves are piled high with Italian chocolate and vintage wine.
So we tend to see customers with the income to buy some very nice things. I didn't really hold back much this year on my ordering. My mother said, Frank, be careful, and I was.
Frank Martinotti says so far his sales point to a much better holiday season than last year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America, which has begun a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys, constantcontact.com.
and by saveandinvest.org, helping military service members and families manage their money with confidence. Online at saveandinvest.org.
If you want to know whether a company offers health benefits for domestic partners, look at that company's size. The bigger employers are much more likely to offer those benefits. There are exceptions, though, like Walmart, ExxonMobil, and Uncle Sam. Well, now Congress is taking another look at the government's workplace policies as Marketplace's Steve Henn tells us.
83 of the 100 largest employers in America offer benefits to same-sex domestic partners. But until now, the federal government has not. Democratic Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin wants to change that.
This is an issue about fairness and about good business practices. That at a root level, this is about equal pay for equal work.
So Baldwin's introduced a bill that would offer health benefits to domestic partners for federal employees. Allison Hurwitz at the Human Rights Campaign.
In addition, the partners of lesbian and gay workers would be eligible to participate in federal retirement, life insurance, and workers' compensation programs.
A companion bill has a Republican co-sponsor in the Senate, but some conservatives worry it could open the floodgates to fraud.
The language in this bill concerns me because of its vagueness.
Dan Burton is a Republican from Indiana.
Let's say somebody says, Joe and I moved in together 3 days ago, and he's my domestic partner.
Burton's point, how do you know? But Baldwin counters, domestic partners would have to sign affidavits affirming the relationship, and they could face fraud charges for lying. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
And finally, is greed making a comeback? Dictionary.com has announced its most searched-for words of 2009, and the biggest gainer percentage-wise was the word E-S-U-R-I-E-N-T.
Esurient.
Yes, esurient means greedy, and it got 8 times as many searches as it did last year, back before the top stories were bank bonuses and Bernie Madoff.
Esurient.
This is Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.